choose. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The Good News in Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Moses authorized a spying expedition, a spying trip into Canaan, the promised land. In verse 16, Moses authorized this. And this, of course, was a test of faith, to send 12 people in, one from each tribe of the 12 tribes, send one man into the land of promises to spy it out, see what's in there, see what they're up against. And this is a test of faith. 1 Peter 1:7 tells us that we're going to be tested in our faith. And it happens every day. It happens on a daily basis. There are small tests. There are bigger tests. 4:12 of 1 Peter says the same thing. Don't be shocked that you're being tested in your faith. That's going to happen all the time. Spying means that I look by sight to see the challenges that I'm up against. Spying means I get to see by sight what challenges I am up against. And then I respond to those challenges in faith or in defeat. I look and I see a challenge. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's relationship. Maybe it's maybe I just lost my job. Maybe who knows what the different ups and downs of life are. But those challenges, we get to spy. We get to see what they are with our eyes. And then we get to decide whether they are something that I can rally and be faith in God. I can trust God through it. Or am I already defeated before I even begin? I'm already defeated. So spying is something that happens to us every day. That's why the Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith, not by sight. If you walk by sight, then chances are you're going to feel defeated a lot of times instead of rallying in faith and defeating the challenges. So in Numbers 13:27, remember Moses sent these guys out to spy out the land. And they were coming back to give Moses the report on what they found in the promised land. And so in verse 27, and they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us. And it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." They brought Moses back this huge, huge, huge cluster of grapes. And they were beautiful, especially if you like grapes. But he said, "Beautiful, milk and honey. The grapes, you know, fruit everywhere. The place is just amazing. Nevertheless, in verse 8, the people who dwell there in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Anak was a very large character. "The Amalekites dwelled in the land in the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites were in Jerusalem. The Amorites dwelt in the mountains, the Canaanites dwelt by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." So we had in Caleb, once all this started to come out, Caleb immediately tried to quiet the people in verse 30. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But Caleb was doing what? Him and Joshua were rallying back in faith. They were bringing in a negative report about the land. They said, "You're right. It's everything you said it is. But, however, there are enemies there that are very, very strong. And they're everywhere. In fact, there was 30-plus different tribes in the land of Canaan at this time. And all of them were going to raise an army to go against the Israelites, who were supposed to take over the nation and kick everybody out if they didn't go annihilate them. Caleb tried to quiet the people. And the men who had gone up with him, the remaining guys, the 10 guys, not counting Joshua and Caleb, there was 12 in all, but the 10 said, "We are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are." That's what the spying expedition gave to them. By sight, that's what they concluded. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report on the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land which we have gone into as spies devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And we even saw giants there who were the descendants of Anak, and then we were like grasshoppers to them." We were like bugs, insects, and they could easily just step on us. So that was what happened with the spying trip, the spying expedition. 2 out of the 10 had a positive faith answer to what they saw, and 10 out of the 12 had a very negative response to what they saw. They found the land rich in resources, but filled with strong enemies. Caleb tried to stop them from talking because they were communicating negative things one to another. He tried to stop them, to quiet them from the negativity, because he knew it would only hinder their faith. Negativity always hinders their faith. Proper fellowship, like we have here, proper fellowship is people who are exchanging words and even gestures with handshakes and hugs and so forth that are edifying one to another. When somebody gives you a hug or shakes your hand or whatever, it's edifying. It comforts you. It makes you feel that somebody actually cares about you. Not like me on Friday night. Makes you feel like somebody actually cares. And it builds up together, corporately, it builds up a faith atmosphere, or what we call in our ministry a faith field, a field of faith. Because we're all together, we're all believing, we're all positive. Nobody's sharing negative reports with each other. And if they do, we shut them down quick. We stick a cookie in their mouth from the refreshment table. When the negativity starts coming out of them, we don't want negativity. We want to quiet the negativity. We want faith to be talked, faith to be spoken, faith to, you know, glorify God, boast about the Lord. Don't give credence to all of the negative things in life. It only makes them stronger, and it only cripples your faith. So, but the 10 spies, you know, they were thinking that they're just being honest. I mean, if you had interviewed them, they would say, "Look, man, I'm just being honest about what we saw. I'm being honest." But that kind of honesty cripples faith. That's honesty from natural viewpoint. I mean, anybody can say that they're being honest. I can look at myself in the mirror and point out all my weaknesses and say, "Hey, I'm just being honest about myself." Isn't that a good thing, to be honest about yourself? No. It's good to have divine viewpoint and speak God's honesty about you. You know, don't your honesty about yourself and other people and the situation is simply lying against the truth. God's viewpoint is different than your viewpoint. And so we don't confess being honest about things. You know, sweetheart, honestly, I got to tell you some things about you. You know, that's the beginning of a disaster in a marriage. You want to be honest with your wife or honest with your husband? You're headed for disaster. You want to give them, you don't want that kind of honesty. That kind of honesty is from the devil. The honesty we want, that kind of honesty is from sight. You want the honesty where God's divine viewpoint comes into the picture. Like that song we said, "Praise Him, praise Him." You're standing there today, you're blameless, you're perfect, you're holy. That's God's honesty about you. Honest to God. That's what He thinks about you. And why should I confess something less than that? Because I'm just being honest. You don't want to be honest. "I'm just being honest. That guy's not spiritual. That guy's no good. That person's this. You're not being honest. You're lying against the truth. That's not what God thinks of them. And you and I walk with God because we agree with God. Remember that verse, Amos 3:3. How can we walk together unless we agree with God? You want to walk with God? Agree with Him about everybody in your life, even the person you can't stand. Start agreeing with God about that person. Because that's being honest from God's point of view, not from people's point of view. Because I'm just being honest doesn't cut it. You're not going to make it with that. And Caleb knew it. He's trying to say, come on, be quiet. He didn't have any cookies to stick in their mouth. He's trying to quiet them because he knew that was going to cripple them. That was going to really hurt them. And so he knew that. And these little boxes always come up. I'm sorry. Okay. So they concluded with their honesty that the inhabitants of the land were stronger and they would be defeated. They didn't even factor in God, the God who parted the Red Sea for them. They didn't factor in the God who brought 10 plagues against Egypt, against their enemy. They factored in none of that. They were simply occupied with what they saw, the spying expedition. They're occupied with their own weakness. They're occupied with the difficulty of the situation, the tough opposition they were going to be facing. And they looked at themselves and made the conclusion that they were too weak. And that means when you do that, you're no longer receptive to what the Word says. Promises mean nothing to you. And you're not receiving faith from the Word of God in Romans 10:17. And so you just become like a natural person without any spirituality in your life at all. You know, God didn't need their faith to defeat those 30-plus enemies in Canaan. He didn't need their faith to do that. He could have sent a host of angels in and just cleared the place out. He didn't need their faith. He wanted their faith. He didn't need it. He doesn't need their faith to do anything. He wants it. It pleases Him when He sees His children trusting in Him. But He didn't have to have their faith. Their lack of faith, therefore, at this point in their journey with God, their lack of faith meant that they were going to be wandering in a wilderness for 40 years learning to trust the Lord. That's what they got out of their negativity. They're wandering in a wilderness for 40 years learning to trust the Lord. Deuteronomy 8, verses 1, 2, and 3 tells us the reason for their wandering was, in fact, to learn humility and trust for God. And they learned to do that by gathering daily the manna that God sent from heaven. And that would teach them that their provision would come from God and God alone. They weren't even allowed to store it up for the next day. If they tried to, it would rot. God would not even allow them one day to look at their own pantry for their provision.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Tired of raking your mulch back into your garden bed? Or have you replaced wood siding or a garage door because of rain damage? Gutter Guy Seamless Gutters, the rain drainage expert